Welcome to the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast. We're brought to you every week by our sponsors, precisionhydration.com. Electrolytes in different strengths that match how you sweat. You can get 15% off your first order with the code OXYGENADDICT15. And we're also brought to you by Thriver.co, the simple finger prick blood test you can do at home to track hormone, vitamin, and mineral levels in your body. And get 10% off, can't even say it, 10% off all subscriptions with the code OXYGENADDICT10. Right, everyone, bit of a special episode this week. I'm bringing you a bike aerodynamics and bike speed special with my good friend Matt Botterill. Now, a lot of you all know Matt is superstar bike coach to an awful lot of the pros. He is an absolute wizard with bike fitting and aerodynamics and making bikes go faster for less effort and basically getting you more speed for whatever fitness you have, as well as helping people, you know, helping the pros improve their fitness. His real genius is in helping people understand how their body and how their bike interact with the wind and how you can basically use your bike and use your bike position to go much, much faster for the same speed. Now, I'll give a shout out for his coaching services. Matt does a fantastic job of coaching athletes, but he also does a fantastic job of coaching people's bike fit and bike position. So at the moment, it's obviously very difficult for bike fitters to make a living with no one being able to visit them in person. So Matt has pivoted and is doing Skype online bike fitting, so he can do almost all of the stuff he would be able to do in his studio with you at home over Skype. So check out his offerings over at Matt Botterill Performance Coaching. He's a great guy. He's got a really good business going on. I want his business to still be going when the coronavirus lockdown is over. So if you're sitting at home at the moment with more time on your hands than you think you know what to do with and you want to get faster on the bike, then go and visit Matt for a Skype bike fit at the moment. All right, so on this week's show, I've got a whole bunch of news for you and a great coach's couch about nutrition. So we'll jump straight into that. News and results are sponsored by Precision Hydration. Remember, you can get over to their website and take the online sweat test and get a good lead as to whether you're a particularly heavy or a particularly salty sweater. Now, I'm going to bring you this from live from Twitter. One of my other good friends, Dave Moulding, who I used to coach years back, he posted an interesting picture a couple of days ago of his black trucker's cap after a run, and it was completely caked in white salt. And he said, I think I'm going to have a look at my hydration needs during my next run. So that is a really good sign that you are a particularly salty sweater and probably a particularly heavy sweater as well. My first experiences of realizing I was an extremely salty sweater were racing in a black 2XU tri-suit back in the day, and even having done swims in a lake, so I got out of the water, started cycling. At the end of the bike leg, my black tri-suit was completely caked in white salt. And while that might be expected if you've swum in salt water, it's not expected if you've swum in fresh water. So having salt caked on your clothes after a run is a really good sign that you are a particularly heavy in concentration, heavy sodium sweater. And you need to take care of that, because sodium is really important for two things. It's important for fluid balance, but it's also important for muscular contraction. So if your fluid balance goes out of whack, you can end up with what's called hypernatremia, meaning you get an exceptionally low level of sodium in your blood, and that can make you extremely ill. And, you know, in my case, it led me to being on drips after I'd raced and vomiting at the end of races and stuff, simply due to my low blood sodium levels. In some people's cases, and in mine as well, it can lead to horrible calf cramps and horrible cramps all over the body. So if you suffer from cramps, that's another sign that you might want to take a look at getting your electrolytes balanced. So take their online sweat test, and if you decide you want to give them a try, it's a fantastic product. It doesn't taste disgusting. It hardly tastes of anything at all. It certainly doesn't taste salty, which is a surprise the first time you have it. You get 15% off your first order using the code OXYGENADDICT15 over at precisionhydration.com. So absolute no-brainer. Right, so a few things have been going on this week for me. Before we start in with the news, The most important thing that's happened for me over the last week or so was we got performance chef Alan Murchison on a Zoom call with all of the athletes I coach in Team Oxygen Addict. Him and his partner and partner in business, Vicky Gill, did about an hour and a half nutrition and performance cooking seminar for us over Zoom. And it was just brilliant. The guy the pair of them speak so much common sense around nutrition and cooking. It isn't rocket science what they do, but it's incredibly important to do the right stuff. And if you're like me, if you've got almost no clue about cooking and how to cook, even the stuff that Ellen says, this isn't rocket science, it can be like a light bulb going off in your head. So just simple tips he gave us around decide what you're going to cook for the week and have a recipe, you know, go through your recipes and then buy the food that you're going to want to cook that week rather than just ordering stuff from the Sainsbury's online and eating whatever comes has been a revelation for me. Having a 7 days worth of nutrition planning laid out in front of me and sitting down with the online order and going, right, I need to buy these foods, having a specific shopping list for the meals I'm planning to eat that week has been a game changer for me. So we were really lucky. Alan and Vicky gave us and our athletes 7 days worth of meal planners for breakfast, lunches and dinners for free as part of this nutrition seminar. It's what they usually give to their one-to-one performance chef coached athletes that they coach their nutrition from. And it's been brilliant. All the foods and the meals are matched up to the Training Peaks account that we've got with the training for the week. So the meals actually, you know, if you've got a recovery day, it's meals for a recovery day. If you've got an extremely long endurance day, it's foods more matched to that with higher carb content and more calories. If the high intensity days, it's got foods matched to that. So it's really taken all of the guesswork away. And, you know, despite 20 odd years of coaching, the nutrition has been the missing piece of the puzzle for me, and I've never been able to help athletes with it really. So it's been amazing to see that. We've had loads of positive feedback from our athletes. So that was really, really awesome. So if you haven't seen it, I'm going to give a shout out to Alan's book. It's just called The Cycling Chef, which you can get through Amazon. It's brilliant. It's got loads of great recipes for breakfast, lunches, dinners, snack bars, your own homemade energy bars. It's all fantastic. So get over and check their book out. Other things I've noticed this week, check out the PTO Hub, the Pro Tri organization. They've got interviews this week with Sarah Crowley, Dave McNamee, Ali Brownlee. Really short little videos, but really good stuff around interviews with them that'll help the miles tick by nicely over on the turbo. And similarly, Super League Tri have been doing some good stuff as well. They've highlighted this week and reminded me to give a shout out to their junior athletes, Daniel Dixon and Jack Stanton Stock. These two lunatics, and I mean lunatics in the nicest possible way, endurance lunatics, they celebrated their 18th birthdays by riding 315 miles on Zwift, 18 hours for 18 years old on their 18th birthdays. So 315 miles is a solid ride to have put in, let alone at 18 years old. So the pair of them clearly got massive endurance engines as well as those top end engines as well. So congratulations to you two. I bet you earned a slice of cake after getting that all completed. Nice work. Love that. Other bits of news I've seen. Kona has definitely been cancelled for October 2020. And has been provisionally moved to September the 6th of 2021 in Kona, Hawaii. So it remains to be seen whether that's going to happen or not yet, but it's given athletes some breathing space. So if you're an athlete who's already qualified, it looks like you've got a solid date on your calendar there. It's going to be challenging for the Northern Hemisphere athletes to train through the winter, but it's absolutely cracking for the Southern Hemisphere athletes. They're going to get to train through their summers. So it might well be that we see some stonking performances from our Southern Hemisphere athletes for that race. There's rumors of huge numbers of legacy athletes being offered slots in that February 2021 race as well. So it might be that they clear through all of those athletes who've been given the legacy slots and we end up with massive amounts of sort of the participation end of the sport there as well, which I personally think would be absolutely brilliant. I think it'd be a fantastic opportunity to get all those athletes to Kona as well. News at the moment is the Topa 70.3 World Championships in New Zealand, currently postponed, no date on the horizon as seen. Maybe it's been postponed or cancelled indefinitely. Who knows at the moment, but watch this space for more news on that. Other news that's trickling through is that in Hamburg, they've announced that Ironman Hamburg, WTS Hamburg, and the Mixed Relays Championship are all due to take place on the 4th to the 6th of September 2020. So if you're racing that race for this year, that's good news for you to get it on the calendar. Personally, I'm taking that with a pinch of salt at the moment. I don't want to, you know, rain on anybody's chips, but I don't see those events happening in early September of this year. But, you know, wait to be seen. Reading on social media and on Instagram, there's a real mix of pro triathletes reacting to this, from the, this is fantastic, it's definitely going ahead, all the way through to, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it, kind of end of things. So we will see. And another bit of a shout out here. I had a message from listener Vicky Jones, and thanks very much for getting in touch, Vicky. I hadn't put two and two together on this one. She says, hi, I really enjoy your podcast. I've been a long time listener. In your most recent one, legislation is different in England to the rest of Wales and Scotland regarding open water swimming. So we are not allowed to swim in open water yet. And it's a really important distinction. And yeah, you're dead right. Thanks for getting in touch, Vicky. I didn't realise that at the moment. So open water swimming allowed in England, but not at the moment in Wales and Scotland. And I've had a similar email through from Triathlon, Great British Triathlon, British Triathlon Federation, to say a similar thing. So it's confusing and divisive advice at the moment. But basically, if you're in England, you can swim in open water. You can't in Wales and Scotland at the moment. So whatever you're doing, be safe out there, guys. All right. So this week's Coach's Couch, I'm going to talk a little bit about the importance of nutrition. And again, I want to re-underline the stuff that we got from Alan Murchison and Vicky Gill in our seminar that we had with them last week. One of the most important things that I took away from this, and I think it's really important to sort of underline the most important thing you get from something like this. The most important thing was you need to plan your meals out in advance. No matter what you're going to have, plan them. And if you plan them, you can then buy the ingredients for each of those meals. And just like planning out a training plan, you can then plan those meals out to be the kind of things you need for the days that you're training differently. So for your recovery day, you're going to need higher protein and you're going to need a lower carbohydrate, a lower calorie overall content. For your really big endurance day, you're going to need more calories. You're going to need a higher carb proportion. You're going to need to plan around that. And that then helps you to plan for the shopping for that week as well. Now, all this is going to sound really obvious to most people, but for me, and to a lot of people I've talked to off the record, they kind of do their online shop, or they go into the shops and they just buy what they see, and it ends up being a lot more ready meals than would be ideal. If you take the time to just plan out two or three meals a week with the good recipes you can get from Alan's book, it means that you're having these really quality meals two or three times a week at least. And lo and behold, I cooked one of his stir fries the other night. Really, really tasty. And there was enough left over to have for lunch the next day as well. So again, lunch the next day is taken care of. For me, I've personally never tried one of these birch mueslis before. Prepared it the day before after I had dinner and did the washing up. It was in the fridge the next morning, ready to go. And it was really delicious. And it's just introduced something slightly different. And it means that I feel as though it's kind of like a mental tick in the box for me. You've got a tick in this box around nutrition already. Well done. Feel good about yourself and crack on with the day. So I encourage you to do this. Get his book. Have one of the recipes from it. Do the cooking around it. They're not complicated. I was worried it's going to be really hard, but they're not complicated at all. And you can get higher quality nutrition and lo and behold, feel better during training because of it. So like I said, we're really lucky. We've got this nutritional support from Alan and the Performance Chef now. All of our athletes are getting this 7-day meal plan for free when they join up, that they can just, if they want, they can just repeat and roll it through week after week. Personally, I don't ever have more than 7 days worth of different meals anyway. So it's great for me. So all the team members are getting this sort of nutritional support free through the 7-day plan. Some of them have gone on to become one-to-one clients of Alan's and get their, you know, personalized one-to-one food planning changing on a weekly basis, which is awesome. A lot of them don't need that. And yeah, so really, I just wanted to say, if that's the kind of thing that sounds good to you, make a bit of a change now. We've got a bit more time at the moment on our hands, a lot of us. So spend that time investing in some skills that's going to allow you to increase your nutrition. If you're interested in some triathlon coaching at the moment, we've still got our offer on running for the rest of May that says if you join up with Team Oxygen Addict to get coaching, you can get an annual membership and have it extended all the way to September 2021. So, you know, it's an extra 4 months or so at the moment. So if you want to talk through whether you'd be a good fit for coaching with me. You can set up a phone or Skype call with me. There's a link in the show notes to talk through the details. There's obviously too much detail to go through in the show like that. What you can do if you want a little taster is you can join us on our official Zwift ride, Tuesdays, 7:15 p.m. UK time, the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast Power Hour. You can just select that from events. You don't need an invite to come. It's workouts that are guaranteed to raise your FTP, make you a powerful and stronger biker for this coming season. And we had over 120 athletes on it last week. So we'd love to see you there joining us. We've also started doing a weekly 10-mile time trial for our team members as well on Thursdays, which was great fun. We had 61 of our coached athletes join us on a 10-mile time trial, with which, I have to hold my hands up and say, I got my backside kicked thoroughly by most of them. So I've got some work to do there. Now then, talking of improving our bike legs, we're going to go to this week's interview of the week, sponsored by Thriver. Thriver is a fantastic at-home, simple finger prick blood test you can do to find out what's going on in your body and with your health. For athletes, you can track iron, testosterone, liver function, vitamin B9, B12, vitamin D. Or if you're more interested in your health, you can track your thyroid function, your diabetes, cholesterol, omega-3 and omega-6, all the kinds of things like that. You can personalize your blood test and your subscription. It gets cheaper the less tests you choose, so it's really good value. And it gets posted out. You do the test at home, and it takes less than 5 minutes to do the test, pop it back into the post, and take it to the post box. So I think it's an absolute no-brainer. You can get 10% off your subscription with the code OxygenAddict10. And remember, there's links in the show notes. So this week's interview of the week is with my old pal, Matt Botterill. Now, this is a replay of an interview that I did with Matt back this time last year. So the start of this interview, you'll hear Matt talking about his race at Outlaw Half, which he'd just done as we recorded this. So there's a nice little bit of flavor at the start of this for people with absolutely battered legs and remembering back to how it feels when you've just completed a race. So it's nice to hear that. So this is an interview from almost a year ago to give it a little bit of context before we press play. All right, here we go. Let's do this thing then, Matt. Matt Botterill, welcome very much back to the show. It's lovely to have you back on. It's funny chatting to you because we were standing side by side drinking coffee with sore legs at the Outlaw Half yesterday. So how are you feeling firstly after your pretty monumental effort on the bike in your relay team?
Well, thanks for having me back, Rob. Yeah, it's always good to touch base. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty battered, to be honest.
I'm so good to hear that. So glad.
It was a long day, obviously you get up early, you get out there, you go and do your ride. And then I've got to support the athletes that we had out there. So I'm brain frozen today for sure.
It cracks me up. You were saying to me beforehand, like, I'm not in shape. I don't feel like I've really got the power I used to have. And then you went out and rode, what was it, like 2:05:50 or something for the Outlaw?
I suppose you always just related to where you know that you used to be. Do you know what I mean? And I know that sounds quite arrogant, saying, oh, well, I could go a lot faster, but I've lost a lot. Do you know what I mean? In this last 4 or 5 years. So, but you always do it. We all do it, don't we? Compared to where we used to be. But I was, I was really happy. My aim was to ride 2:05 for the team, and I did 2:05:54. But what was more awesome was seeing Will ride 2:07. That was phenomenal. So I was hoping to bloody catch him as well. So.
It's dead funny, man, because me and my buddies, we rode out up and joined the course at it's like a T-shaped course, isn't it? And we were at the joint of the team. We were watching the age groupers come one way and then waiting for the pro race to come in the other direction. And Will came zooming by and we put a split on him. We were going, oh, Matt should be here any minute, because your swimmer was pretty handy. You weren't far behind, were you, out the water?
Yeah, I think we was about 5 minutes, and then there was another 2 minutes, they got a head start.
So, yeah.
But yeah, I want to call him anyway.
But let's talk about Will. What an amazing performance that was. He looks so smooth coming by on the bike. He looked like, when someone's going really fast, but they look really comfortable, and it means they don't look like they're going fast. He was just tapping a rhythm out and zoomed by.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a long process with Will. We've been working together now, 18 months?
Yeah.
And Will was actually buying into this aero lark, so which is really good, but it hasn't been easy. He'll be the first to admit that. One of the biggest things that we had, one of the troubles I've always had with Will was trying to get him comfortable on the saddle. So we address that issue. But, you know, it's quite hard when you've got different sponsorship deals. You've got to ride different saddles. And then this winter we did some, you know, we made some big changes to his aerodynamics. We took him to the wind tunnel with Jamie Pringle. And, yeah, his transformation has then been, you know, we've been able to relate that onto the road. Because Will's, you know, on paper, you know, I'm not going to lie, Will's physiology is probably one of the best in the world. And, you know, now we're getting him to believe in that, and he can see the speed that he's able to travel at. And that's what, you know, I've been trying to drill into him for all this time. It's not just about power. It's about how we use the power, how we pace, and how we use the position on the bike. And, you know, it, yeah, we've had some fun with it. You know, my drill now, we have what we call Aero Monday, and he has to do his aero drills every Monday. And I'm not going to lie, he went to the wind tunnel and he's seen, you know, the drag drop dramatically. And I was like, right, we've got this drag number now, but you've got to do the training. You've got to do the drills to enable you to hold that. And he's done them. And Aero Monday. So that's his Monday session. So it's good. You know, I was really proud of Will yesterday. It was a nice confidence boost for him. And phenomenal, you know, like to be at the side of the road, shouting, well, at the finish, shouting him on, you know. So, good day.
As well as him obviously having loads of power and being super aerodynamic, he looked really comfortable on the run. I think he ran 1:16, and there's no question he could have gone faster. He just looked like he was just out for a Sunday stroll, didn't he? He was super comfortable.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'd worked it out going into the race. Like, I knew he was going to ride around 2:10. You know, we always, I always profile the course, and we look at, you know, we download, like, we use Best Bike Split. That's one of the biggest things I use. And I was like, mate, you do X amount of power, you're going to do this time. But my deal was, I just said, look, you've got Brazil next week. If you've come off the bike and you're up on Threlfall's run, you know, the split, do not hammer yourself on the run. Yeah. So even like 1:16 was faster than what we'd agreed. So the plan was 1:18. So, but he was cruising yesterday, you know, and it was a good confidence boost for him. You know, we had Texas. He did that phenomenal bike. Didn't quite go how we wanted on the run. So I was like, mate, let's do Outlaw half, get a bit of confidence. Yeah. And then we decided to do Brazil.
Yeah, it is. It is so much of a confidence game, isn't it? Even at the very top with the pros, and watching Will go at Texas, he had a phenomenal swim and bike, and looked like he was going well for the first 10K of the run. And yeah. Then, was it almost like, do you think he didn't quite even believe he could go that fast?
I almost like I knew how well Will was going into that race, and this is the biggest thing. Like, you know, I monitor it, and I'm always saying, look, this is the point you're at. This is the time I believe that you can ride. And I think for Will, because he'd made this transformation in aero, he didn't believe how he was cycling. And it's a different race, you know, like you go and ride 112 miles by yourself mentally. That is so different to, you know, like the guys riding in the pack. And he was saying, I was freewheeling at points and they weren't catching me. But I was like, well, you didn't freewheel that much, else they would have caught you. But I just think, you know, mentally, you know, I think that he came off the bike, he expended, you know, I wouldn't say that he expended more energy, like the intensity that he rode at was what we expected. But it was mentally, I don't think he believed what he'd done. And yeah. And I do believe that, you know, he was going into that race to try and win, to try and podium. And, yeah, and after 10K, it wasn't looking that way. So, but that's the biggest thing, you know, like how the dynamics of racing for the pros is with all these new regulations. You've got to make a call at some point. So you're better off saying, well, if I'm not going to get that qualification or I'm not going to win this race, then I need to pick the next one. Because, you know, we all know, you know, whether it's an age group or a professional, that they do that run and it's going to dramatically take, you know, it could take a week, 2 weeks to recover from. Where if you do like a bike, swimming a bike, then, you know, it's like a big training day.
Yeah.
So,
It must be really hard to be sort of where he was in that gap between, was it Andy Starkovitz that was out in front, and then he was in front of all the rest of them, and he might have been thinking, like, he was a bit kind of in no man's land. And I'd imagine 4 hours like that on your own, having doubts in your head about, should I slow down? Should I keep on going? How fast? I can't believe I'm this fast. It must really mess with your head, mustn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But that's the art of becoming an Uber time trialist, isn't it? You know, you've got to, that's like Starkey did the same thing, still ran well. You know, for Will, he's come from this ITU background, and then he's doing something that he's never done before. So, you know, subconsciously, that's a different place that you've never been to. So, he was in no man's land. But, I going into Brazil, if he gets in that situation again, he's got to ride it and he's going to run.
Having seen how well he went at the Outlaw Half, we recorded this morning. I said to Helen, God help anybody who's got to race Will at Ironman Brazil, the form that he's in.
It's good, you know, I so believe in Will. It's great. He's on my doorstep. I get to see him a hell of a lot. I'm excited for this weekend, and obviously working with, you know, I work with Tim Don, and I know that course really well. So that's what I was doing before I met you, actually. I've profiled it. I know the time it can ride. I'm not going to say what that time is.
But, oh, go on. Let's
I'll tell you off air. It's going to be a good race, and it'll get some confidence from Outlaw.
Well, obviously, Will, he's got the pedigree in the swim already. Superb swimmer. Turned into an amazing time trialist. He's always been an exceptionally good runner. And he's run down in the low 240s. Do you think that, I mean, maybe not this race, but do you think that breaking Tim's time overall could be on at some point in the future?
I do believe that he could go faster. You know, he's got the physiology to be able to do that. But... yeah, we've got to get the race and the right conditions. It's obviously, like, the record then went to Matt Hansen, but who I also coach.
Are you also a coach? Yeah.
it's
a bit of
great.
A conflict of interest for you now, isn't it? Every time some another fast guy comes along, it's like, oh, I'm beating one of my own athletes' records.
I've got to admit, you know, I struggle to believe it myself, but I don't know. It doesn't matter if it's professional or an age group that we're working with. You know, and your mentality is the same, that you just want them to succeed. I just look at them as an individual and say, right, if you do X, Y, and Z, then you're going to hopefully get this result. And it's a working process, like, for anybody that's, doing this sport, that you've just got to work on your weaknesses. And that doesn't, it's not always training, it's like mentally, or it might be an equipment change, or, you know, like, it's all these little bits where in triathlon, there's so many marginal gains that you can find. You've just got to find out, work on your weaknesses, and we all know that consistency is key.
One thing that I really love that you've brought to triathlon bike coaching is an approach of going, well, do you know what? There's more to this than just getting really fit on the bike and riding to your numbers. There's, you know, the first time we met and you'd had a bit of a swim and stuff, afterwards you said to me, I get it. Like, swimming is just like time trialing. And I was like, what are you on about? And you started talking about how, you know, I can feel the water on my shoulders. My shoulders are a different size because I've been doing all this swimming. And it's affecting my aerodynamics. And I'd never heard a cyclist talk before about feeling the wind on their body in the same way that I've heard hundreds of swimmers talk about feeling the water on their body.
Yeah.
But that was like a breakthrough moment for me, for thinking, there's something to this. Like, Matt feels how the wind goes across his body and moves his shoulders and neck and stuff around. So let's go back to the thing you were talking about with Will, with your aero drill Monday. That's something massive, isn't it, that triathletes can do to turn themselves
absolutely.
Into better time trialists.
And this is what, like, the art of aero Monday, whatever day it is, like aero drills. It's the same as, you know, like, we all do drills in swimming. Like, you'll do your school drill, you'll do doggy paddle, you'll do I don't know, there's a million and one drills, isn't there?
Yeah.
But what are those working on? They're working on technique, and you feel the water. You know, I'm quite fortunate that, I've done this since I was 12. I'm now, so that's, 42 this year, 30 years of cycling, that I can feel the wind, and that comes from, like being in the wind tunnel, being out on the road. But I learned that because I never had the biggest engine, but I wanted to go faster. And I was like, well, how do I get quicker? Then it was a matter of improving my aero. And once I was able to get to this point and I could feel it, you know, through shoulders and hands and head, then I was able to bring that into my racing. And it's easy to feel the wind. You know, it's like somebody, you know, you've got a blockhead wind, stick your head up, lower it, you'll feel it. And you've got to, and it's getting those sensations. It's the same as, you know, you can almost like, you know, like be on your tops, go on to your drops, and, you know, drop your head a little bit and you'll see the speed increase. You know, if it's on a flat section of road going downhill, you'll build that momentum. I can feel it a bit better than that, but it's just from years and years of experience. You know, I learn visually. So that's what I've been able to bring into probably triathlon. That probably, you know, I don't know anybody else at the minute that's kind of doing that. I might be wrong. But, you know, obviously, if like any sport, it's going to evolve. People are going to pick up on this stuff. And, you know, times are only going to get quicker, you know, especially on the bike section. But ultimately, that translates into run time as well. And that's the biggest thing that I've been able to see with the athletes, you know, world-class level, or, you know, amateurs, that it's not necessarily that we find them more power all the time. We save them more energy, and that translates into faster run times.
I was going to say, it's really funny, because before I knew you very well, me and my mate used to look at photographs of you time trialing, and then the guys you coach time trialing. We used to have the standing joke that, like, maybe Matt's actually going and entering all these events himself and going under different names, and like, and he's winning all these events, but it's actually him, because all of your athletes look like you on the bike. They're all like, loads of them are on the same bike, loads of them are in the same kit, the same helmet, same position, and it's like, wow, that position looks really fast.
Yeah. And it is.
Yeah, no question, right? But, because I came down to see you for a bike fit a few weeks ago. So full disclosure to people listening, I came down and was like, all right, Matt, work your magic. The first photo we take, it looks like my grandma's out doing the shopping. And I was embarrassed looking at the photograph of it afterwards. Like, I thought I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, it's triathlete position. Yeah. that's the first rule of thumb that we always say when, someone comes into the unit, if they are a triathlete, they have to leave looking like a cyclist.
Well,
and it's a standing joke. So there's nothing wrong with looking like a triathlete, but it's just like a joke that we run. You've got to look the part. But it's no good looking the part and then you can't run off the bike. So we do account for that.
Well, the other thing is that you come in, and for any triathletes listening who consider they've got a triathlete's position, the first thing to go is, there is a much faster position for you, and it's not the one that you're in, it's the one Matt's going to put you in. So afterwards, I got my after photo and looked at it, and my mate Andy said, you look just like Matt Botchwell. He's turned you into him.
Yeah, your position was a big transformation, you know. But it was, you know, like with what we did with you, it wasn't like massive tweaks. It was just like, get, you know, like, you've got a decent bike, and we just adapted it to fit, you know. And that's what people are spending all this money on, bikes, but I'm just shocked that, you know, you spend all this money, whether it's age groupers or professionals, and they're not using the tool, you know, for the job. They're not using it correctly, which is surprising, because the gain, you know, if you consider that your body is eight, you know, with your head, shoulders, and your whole body, that's 80% of your drag is going to come from that. So it doesn't matter what bike you buy, if you don't get that bike to fit you from a biomechanical point and an aero point, then you're almost like wasting your money. Of course, you'll go a bit quicker, but you won't see, you know, you might find seconds, but to find minutes, we've got, you know, you've got to reduce that drag. And a lot of you know, like a lot of athletes' drags are super high. They're, you know, like they're through the roof. It's almost like me riding on a road bike, which is, yeah, it's a bit depressing, really, when you spent all this money on a bike and then you think, well, actually, I've not optimised it.
Well, it was interesting for us. We stood at the roadside during the Outlaw Half this weekend, and we must have watched literally 1,000 athletes go by. So we had this kind of, firstly, the critical eye of just being and clapping and cheering people on. But after a while, we started saying, have you noticed how many people are doing like the five things that you told us during the bike fit? Almost everybody was doing some of it or all of those things completely wrong from an aerodynamics point of view. And it almost became a standing joke that we were going that and that, this and that.
Yeah, there's all these.
So talk us through in terms of, I guess, like sequential easy wins for people when they're going out there in terms of what's going to improve their aerodynamics. The first thing we talked about was close fitting clothing, wasn't it? And it sounds obvious, right?
It does. And that's what's coming into the sport now. Like in cycling, you know, we've been wind tunnel testing for years. But now it's translating into triathlon, you know, like the clothing that people are wearing. Obviously, one of the big factors that's coming into the sport is years ago, everybody used to wear short sleeves, which was like, yeah, you're giving away loads of time there.
So like those triathletes cut off, you know, cut off at the shoulders or a vest top or like the classic triathletes tri-suit. How much kind of in terms of power would you give away over a speed suit?
That's the thing, like skin suits and tri-suits, there's probably, you know, you're probably losing like between 20 and 30 watts between a great fitting suit that's been designed in the wind tunnel, developed to like a bog standard sleeveless suit, which is, you know, like over an Ironman distance, we're talking some serious time that we're going to reduce. And most people have said, oh, no, that's not possible. Tell you now, going to the wind tunnel, you know, we've measured this so many times that, you know, always try and buy the best clothing that you can. That's a big win-win. You know, you can spend thousands on wheels, you know, frame sets, but clothing is a big area. You know, the manufacturers are grasping onto this. Clothing's only going to improve. You know, it's like now teams, you know, cycling teams are spending hundreds of thousands to, you know, like find 1 or 2 watts. But in triathlon, you know, like start putting sleeves on it, some trips on it, and yeah, that's dramatically going to reduce that drag.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that was interesting at Outlaw Half was obviously relatively early season race. It's sort of mid-May for people who might be listening later on. Quite chilly on race day morning. So I reckon 10% of the field was wearing something over the top of their tri-suit, whether that's a cycling gilet, whether it's a long sleeve jersey, whether it was a rain jacket in a lot of instances. Mm-hmm. How much is somebody giving away putting a jersey like that on over the top of
three mile, probably, yeah, 2 to 3 mile an hour.
Wow.
You know, it's a hell of a lot. And, you know, there is a time, obviously, when it's freezing that you want to wrap up. But, you know, yesterday, as soon as you get moving, it's always cold when you get out of the water. But, yeah, clothing, like a long sleeve top compared to a skin suit, yeah, 2 or 3 miles an hour. It's crazy. Yeah. You know, like if you're wearing a raincoat, then wow, you're going to be giving away a lot. But it's all these little bits that potentially you're going to see those bike times plummet, you know. So clothing, body position.
Clothing and we'll come to body position in a bit for sure. In terms of helmets, getting a correct fitting aero helmet on somebody as opposed to them just riding in a normal road helmet. What sort of gains is that going to give somebody?
Again, depending on the individual, if they're riding like, they just ride an open vented helmet compared to like an aero helmet, then again, we could see another 20 watts there.
Wow.
It's phenomenal, like the gains that you can make just in helmet and, aero tri-suit. But again, when it comes to optimizing a helmet, there isn't such a thing as the fastest helmet out there. It's very much you need it to individualize to you. And we've got a pretty good eye in terms of doing a bike fit and then fitting a helmet on somebody and saying, well, I'd suggest that these are the two, three options that you potentially look at. But that's when the wind tunnel just come into its own, really. Same with clothing, you know, like when you're looking at the top end stuff, because what works for one might not necessarily always work for the other, especially if it's got like a trip design on it. But yeah, when we do a bike fit, I'm pretty confident that we're going to get you, you know, we do the bike fit, but then we're going to get you in an helmet that's going to fit you. And a lot of people, honestly, they buy these helmets, they're not even fitting them correctly. You know, you've got like rot locks in there, you've got visors, and it's understanding how to get that to fit to your body. So again, that's something that we always look at within a bike fit. It's not just like, here's your biomechanics, here's your aero, go away. We look at all these little bits. And again, you understand how to hold that.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. All right. So there's equipment stuff kind of covered off. Let's go on to body position next then, because that was the thing for me, that you made some small tweaks to my bike handlebar angle, and all of a sudden I got back on and just went, oh, like that's what I've been looking for. It was like getting into a comfortable pair of shoes.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the thing, you know, like everybody goes out, you buy your bike, it comes with a set of extensions, you know, like the pole extensions, and it'll come with a set of handlebar cups. But the problem that you have is that everybody's body shape is so different. Some people can't lower the head. Some people, they can't rotate the shoulders. Some people have got wide shoulders. Some people, narrow shoulders. So everyone's going to need a different pole angle. And that's what we were able to do to you. With you was, we were able to, we assessed you initially. So we looked at what you could do biomechanically, like your body composition, how you could rotate your shoulders. Have you got any niggles in your shoulders? And then we morphed you into the bike. But that came through, you know, like changing the angle. You were quite lucky in the fact that we didn't have to change out the pole angle. We were able to rotate the cockpit, the tri bars. You know, you had the flat base bar, and then we were able to angle the poles. And all that did there was it gave you the rotation in the shoulders. So we were able to narrow the shoulders, and we were able to lower the head. So ultimately then, that gets you into that more aero position, but it also makes you a lot more comfortable because you haven't got the pain in your shoulders from bracing all the strain. You know, like we see it a lot where athletes have got like the flat poles, like Fabian Cancellara used to ride.
Yeah.
And that was amazing, but that was like a time when, Cancellara at the top of the sport, bikes were getting transformed. You know, they were looking like Formula One race cars. And they put like these flat poles on, but you know, like Cancellara was like riding time trials at like 480 to 500 watts. So for him, they worked. But for most people, those flat poles are like the worst thing. People get wrist pain, they get shoulder pain because they're just bracing all the weight through the body. So yeah, by changing, getting the correct angle of pole, and everyone can do this. You know, you can play around with it in the mirror. You can get a bike fit, and yeah, if somebody really knows what they're doing, then they're able to set you up with the correct pole angle and then get the narrowing of the shoulders there.
But the thing that really surprised me was I thought I knew what I was doing. I played with my position quite a bit over the years, and then you kind of looked at me. It was one of those, I've made a joke with you before about this, about how like that guy in the Matrix can see all the green numbers on the screen, but he can see what's going on. It was like you looked at people differently and you were like, no, just a minute, wait there. I'll just do this and this and this. And all of a sudden, by changing the angle, it wasn't even like we needed a second go at it. I went straight back in and I could feel immediately my shoulders were completely relaxed, but they were much narrower than they were before. Yeah. But I just kind of sat in that, like everything supported itself on my elbow cups all of a sudden.
Definitely. And that's because, you know, like what we're able to do is like, there's myself and George Fox, who does a lot of our fitting, is you have to become the athlete. And that's how we do it. You know, we're not using high, you know, at the minute we haven't got motion capture, but we're not, something that we are investing in at the minute, but it's just like getting the athlete to understand how to hold that position. And it's simple. You just say, you know, we make the change to the bar, they go into it, they can't quite hold it right. Now we're going to, can you push in, can you pull on the poles? Can you push into the pads? Can you drop the head? And all of a sudden you can see what they do. And then it's like, okay, they can't do, you know, they can't do this now. But if we do one drill, so it might be that initially we work on hand position, that they fall into that position. You're like, wow, yeah, I can hold that. The pain out of my shoulders are gone. Like for you, we didn't have to change it where we put angled shims in, which take a lot of the stress out of the shoulders. We were able to angle the tri bars, and yeah, people will be able to see that through, you know, the pictures that you'll post up. But that's one of the great things, is putting angled shims in takes the pressure out of the shoulders. It's, you know, it then allows the cup to fully support the shoulder, which takes a lot of pain out there, which is, you know, it's great. It's ultimately, it's going to mean when you come out of the swim, I've never felt pain like it. You know, it was, the pain that I felt from swimming in my shoulders was relentless. And yeah, but that's one of the things that these angled shims and poles allow you to do, is to take that pain away. So once you get that bit right, then we can start working on hand position, and then we can go into like changing pole. We can then go into changing pads. You know, like we do, like you, it's a lot of people are changing now. You know, that's one of the things I did notice at Outlaw, was people are like, you know, they're getting wise. In the UK, there's nobody else where you could get all these different parts to make your bike and your position to what, how you need it to be. So
yeah,
pad position is, and it's not always narrow, it's good for everybody. And that's why, you know, we're measuring shoulders, we're taking all these different angles to understand how do we make that narrowing, and you know, and the length that we're also going to take with the poles as well.
Yeah.
So poles are, you know, you can pick up a set of poles for like £45 if you haven't, you know, so it's not like you've got to go out and spend thousands. It's a simple fix.
Do you know what I mean? Relatively small investment of cash for a massive comfort fix, isn't it?
Yeah, and then, but then also having the, yeah, and I suppose that's a great thing for us, like, you know, obviously, like when we take, some people look mortified when we're like ripping all the cables out with its DI2 mechanical, but that's just like, you know, we've got the confidence yeah, to be able to do that, you know, like drilling parts, and yeah, it's not for everybody, but yeah, that's what we're able to do within our bike fit. And most bike fitters aren't doing that, because I'm not going to lie to you, if you don't know what you're doing, you could be there all day.
Yeah. But
generally speaking, we can transform somebody in about 2 to 3 hours.
Well, the thing that amazed me, your bike fit studio is like a little Aladdin's cave. So you've got like this whole selection of, well, first up, loads of different aero helmets to try on. And it's that thing like, here's what you look like in this one. Here's what you look like in this one. Look how that one fits your back, but it doesn't fit. Like in our case, my friend Andy came down and he had a fit done as well. So that was a real good contrast, that what fit me really well didn't fit him, and vice versa. So that was a real great example of two people being completely different body shapes and different helmets fitting him really, really well. Yeah. Similarly, the pads he had on his bike, they were tiny, weren't they? They were tiny little arm cups. And the minute you put the different ones on, so you've got a different selection of arm cup pads to try out. The minute they went on, he was just like, oh yeah, these are great. This is completely different. And without having the option to try that, if you just come in and like, and I'm as guilty as anyone, you just buy stuff off the internet because it looks nice without trying it, right?
Yeah, and that's where most people go wrong. You know, you can market the hell out of something and it, yeah, you know, there's loads of companies out there doing it at the minute. But yeah, you can buy the product, but if you don't know how to use it, or you put it in the wrong position, then you're wasting your money ultimately. Yeah, you know, like there's no magic in a set of high-sided pads, for example. But if you put them in the right position, then generally you're going to get 8 to 10 watts, which is a massive transformation, you know, for somebody. So, but, you know, one of the things that we've been able to do is we've done this for a long time now. You're almost like you're trying to find speed for free. Well, you've got to buy the parts, but it's, you know, but you're trying to morph the body into position that it doesn't want to get in, but you're relieving the pain. Like years ago, anyone sees pictures of me, I had a grimace on my face, like, and it looks like I'm in pain. from, you know, just trying. That wasn't pain from trying. It was trying to squeeze my shoulders in and hold my head. And, you know, if I'd done it right the next day, I was in agony. But like now, what we're able to do is, you know, we've got all these pads, shims that have, you know, like transform, you know, like the transforming position. But ultimately, they're just making it a lot easier. So, yeah. But yeah, well, it's good.
We've always said on the podcast, when it kind of gets to springtime and people move from training indoors to taking the tri bike outdoors or the TT bike outdoors, like, look, there's going to be two or three rides where you go out and after 5 or 10 miles, you go, I just can't do this. I can't see where I'm going up the road. And my shoulders hurt. My neck hurts. It's like the first couple of rides, there's a fitness aspect of just being able to just ride in the aero position before you even try and put any power out. You've just got to get used to being in that position, haven't you?
Definitely. And that's one of the things some of the athletes, they hate me because I'm always like, right, you're going to go out and you're going to ride your aero helmet. And they're like, what do you mean I've got to ride? I can't do that. Everyone will laugh at me. And I'm like, but you're going to race in like 2-3 weeks' time. I want you to do like, you know, it might be 2-3 rides. I want you to, you know, get your aero helmet on. But that's, you know, it's, yeah, of course it's going to make them faster on the training ride. But it's just to get them used to it, because once you start getting visors and, you know, it's quite claustrophobic in there. And you know, like how you see, like you might have done all these aero drills all winter, but once you get out on the road and you're traveling at speed, it's going to feel totally different. But then that's one of the things that a lot of people, you need to do is, right, get your bike fit done, but then you've got to transform that onto the road. Because it's like, whether it's an aero test in the wind tunnel or on the track, if you do not know how that feels on the road, you'll never utilize it. And we'll, you know, if you've done a lot of this aero work, then you're going to be obsessed with what's my drag coefficient, what's my CDA, and you know, you might go to the wind tunnel, you know, like for most triathletes, where we're realistically trying to get to, you know, if we can get down to like 0.2, if we get below that, phenomenal. But if you get that number in the wind tunnel or on the track and then it's not translating into the road, well, that's just a sign that you're not holding your position. So you've got to, you know, put that into practice. And relatively speaking, it's probably going to take 6 to 8 weeks to make that transformation if you do it correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, the parallel here, I think you're kind of singing to the choir here with triathletes, because they do this with swimming already. They know that drills are going to improve their swim stroke. They get made to do drills every week by their coach to improve their swim stroke. And they know it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks to bed in. We've never been told before you need to do drills to hold your position in an aerodynamic way on the bike. And if your position is comfy without needing to do those drills, you're probably giving something away with your position.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you've got to do that. Yeah, you've got to do that. And that's where we're, you know, like for us, that's what we're a specialist in, you know. And, you know, we work, you know, different people come to us. They might, you know, they might have the coaches and everything else, but we can help, you know, like them go away and then they can implement those drills. So we always give a report and it can be like, do these drills in training and that's going to enable you to get faster. Yeah. And that's the key to it. Don't, you know, yeah, you know, the training will bring you X amount, but you can short course, especially if you've done this for a long time and you're like, yeah, I'm still traveling at 20 miles an hour. I'm still traveling at 21, whatever that speed is, or you've got an obsession with time. Then really, you know, relatively speaking, it's like, okay, you need X amount of watts to get faster. Where's that going to come from? And if you're in your 40s and 50s and you've done this for a long time, I'm telling you now, you're not going to all of a sudden, unless, you know, if you're untrained, but if you're relatively fit, you're not just going to find like 20 or 30 watts. But if you've never looked at your position, which as we can see, and I'm going to more and more triathlon races, a lot of triathletes haven't, then you could be older and getting faster.
Right. So I came back, I was really inspired. I got on the turbo and the first few rides that I did, I was like, okay, here's my drill set. I'm going to do these like a drill set, a minute on, a minute off, just like you said to do. And what amazed me was how hard it was riding at zone two watts, trying to hold the position, because it's really stressful, isn't it? The first few times you get down into that position, it's physically challenging just to get your hands high, your head down, get the tuck, the turtleneck thing, without even trying to put any power down.
Definitely. And that's where, you know, like relatively speaking, that's where you want to start, you know, like small, like minutes, or doing like a drill that we call a 20-40 drill, where it's 20 seconds full gas, you know, like you hold the position and then 40 off. And you can do like blocks, relatively speaking, even like 5 minutes of doing that. And you say you did that over an hour and you put like four of those 5 minutes into an hour block, then you've just got to get that muscle memory and that adaptation, and it'll soon come. Do you know what I mean? Once you start that, that's when you can start building the power up, and that's when we can be saying, right, do your threshold intervals, do your, you know, like your long endurance ride, do 20 minutes in that position. And that's, you know, that's one of the biggest things that I build up over time, you know, like through a training program, that you build those sections up. And what goes wrong is people do it and then they'll come to the end of the year and then they leave it again. Do you know what I mean? But you've always got to build those drills. And it's like your bike fit. Don't just get a bike fit once. You know, you've got to revisit it, because hopefully you can find a bit more. Because if you're coming in, you know, like you cannot do everything in one fit. You can do a lot, and that's where the big gains are. But then the marginal, you know, the next marginal gains will come from revisiting things. You know, I've done this so much, and I'm still trying to find, like, you know, I'm going to the winter on, this Thursday, just to try and find, like, oh, yeah, is it 1 or 2 watts there? we always want more.
Well, let's talk about some of the athletes that you've worked with over the past couple of years then, and the differences that we've seen to them. We've already talked quite a lot about Will. Obviously, you worked with Tim, and he's made this amazing comeback, hasn't he, after his crash. And he was in my mind, actually, as I was training, and thinking, the guy's broken his neck. How is he getting his head down into this position? And, you know,
yeah, that was what was quite funny. Like, we joked about this, because I'll never forget it. It was like, we had, Tim obviously had the halo, and we had this four-way Skype. So there's his manager, there's me, and then there's Julie. And like, literally, it must have been hours after he'd, you know, come back from the hospital. He sits on his road bike at the time. He had like this sit up and beg handlebar stem, and he dropped his hands on it. Because, look, I can still do the shrug. His head was lopsided, but he could still do the shrug. He was like, oh, I know I can ride now, I'll be fine. But it was hard, you know, like, trying to get him back into the position. We had to do a lot of work on the road bike, and, you know, we were able to get him back on the road bike, then back onto the TT bike. And yeah, that it wasn't too hard for that. There was just a lot of issues going off with his neck and everything else that we had to work on. So, but Tim's transformation from when I met him to where he's at, like, I'm not going to lie, Tim's probably got one of the best CDAs in the world. You know, but that was what was, you know, like, when I first started working with him, I remember one of the things that I said to him was, man, what have you been doing for all this time? And he was like, well, obviously he's got all these great results. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, you've not broke Ironman yet. You know, you've won Mallorca. I was like, man, we can go so much quicker. And he was like, well, yeah, really? And then obviously we've seen that, you know, breaking the Ironman world record, and but Tim's just brought into the process. He believes in, you know, like, he asks lots of questions, but providing I can give him the correct answers, he follows them. And, you know, at the age of 41, still wanting to go out there and smash yourself. And, you know, he's always asking me, I must get a message every day from Tim, like, oh, have you, what's the next game? What else can I do? You know, and that's inspiring for me, because I love being asked questions and, you know, going out there and thinking, yeah, can we do this? What else can we do? And that's what you always want to do, isn't it? You know, like with the athletes that you're working with, you want to give them that next, you know, that next marginal gain. So yeah, Tim's been a revolution, and yeah, I think he'll carry on for a while yet. So I hope he does anyway.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. I love it.
In terms of his recovery from his crash, are things getting better and better with that? I'm sure it's a complicated road back.
Yeah, definitely. It's just a shame at South Africa that he had that mechanical, because yeah, he was in great shape going into that race. We'd done all the right training. He was definitely on his way back, but it was just unfortunate. But I do, yeah, you know, I think we're going to have a good year. He's already raced, you know, he's won a couple of races, and it's getting harder because we're getting older, but he's still, I believe that he can have a good year this year.
Nice. And then how proud were you when you saw Lucy Charles and her transformation when she was riding out in Kona, and the kind of bike position that she was in compared to how she used to be?
Oh yeah, you know, like seeing Lucy's transformation in the sport was phenomenal. You know, obviously she got second at Kona the previous year, and I remember watching it on TV thinking, well, she could ride so much quicker. What's this girl doing? And then, yeah, obviously working with Lucy last year was phenomenal, you know, seeing that transformation on a bike, seeing all those splits it was phenomenal. And then coming into Kona and seeing her get second, like, let's not take it away. Like, Daniela Reef's time was phenomenal, but Lucy Charles was like the second. Yeah, that was apart from Daniela's, that was the fastest bike split that's ever been ridden, you know. So it's a great transformation. So it'd be interesting to see how she does now. She's not working with me, so we'll have to see. She decided to do her own thing, so we'll see.
And we've just had Susie Cheetham on. She's obviously on her.
Oh, Susie! Oh, you've just been speaking to Susie.
We interviewed her last week. She's been on this week's show that's just going out. So I think she's just raced Challenge Lisbon this weekend, and she stepped on something and messed her foot up, didn't she?
What the chances? I can't believe it. She goes into this massive lake and she goes and slams on a glass bottle. But I always joke with Susie because she's she's like my A-star student. You look at, like, Susie Cheetham, and we always laugh about this because before we got the unit, I met Susie. She came to my house and she was on like this P5X, and I didn't have a bike stand because, you know, disc brakes had only just come out at that time. Like, I used to just do, you know, anyone that knew me before the unit, we just used to do it in, I'll call it a man cave. It was glorified summer house. But we didn't have this stand, so I had to prop her up against this fence that I've got at the bottom of my garden. And do this bike fit on her. But it's probably one of the best. It was an amazing bike fit, you know. But she just took it on board and, yeah, phenomenal, you know, and I love working with Susie. Me and Susie have some great banter, you know, so, she's probably, again, you know, like, air position on the bike. If people look at her back, you know, like when she did Ironman Brazil to where she is now, massive transformation. A key, you know, that's probably one of the biggest things that you can see in head position, the difference between now and where it was. So, yeah. Susie, yeah, she's a great athlete. Love working with her. Let the banter continue because we always have plenty of it.
And you've already touched on Matt Hansen. Obviously, he had his amazing race out in Texas 2018 where he broke the standing world best there with that.
Yeah.
That, again, must have been another. You were watching that and going, the guy's ridden up to the front pack. He's ridden through the front pack. He's ridden off on his own. That's been an amazing transformation as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And Matt's just taking it on board. Again, another athlete the main difference with Matt was Matt is a robot. I call him a robot. It's literally, I've cracked him twice in training. And when I did it was like the best feeling ever because it mentally was like, yes, I've got him now. But he just couldn't translate power out on the road compared to what he could do, you know, he could do on the turbo trainer. So yeah, again, it was phenomenal just getting that understanding. And you've got to realize this has just been done over Skype calls, and because Matt's in the middle of nowhere in America, and just through Skype calls and then translating it onto the road. But just working with Julie, like, I love working with her. Like, Julie Dibbins, people, just Google the lady, you know, she's phenomenal.
Legend. I mean, I'm sure everyone listening in the UK has heard of Julie, but you and her do, you make quite a phenomenal triathlon coaching team, don't you?
Yeah, and the respect that we've got for each other and how we get each other, like, her mentality and thinking is just so on par with mine. It's ridiculous. Like, I'll never forget, like, it was Tim Don that brought me and Julie together, because, you know, I was he'd left Julie, then he started working with me and the synergy wasn't quite working. I was like, mate, there's a missing link here. We've got to do something. And then, I always remember we had this guy, so he was like, right, I need to think about this, and went back to Julie, and she was open to working with me, and I was the same. And we had this Skype call, and then conversations got quite heated through text. Like, I remember saying to me, what do you think it takes to win Ironman? And I was like, what do you mean? Of course I know. I'd helped Tim O'Brack win it, but all she was trying to, she just wanted a list of my break, you know, like a breakdown. And once that settled in, I was like, I've got to just make a list there. And then I went back to her, and our lists were like pretty much identical. and it was kind of, it took about 2 weeks, like back and forth with Texas. But once we, you know, like our whole concept was, we've got to do what's best for the athlete. We might have this, you know, you're a coach, I'm a coach, we've got these different ideas, but we've got to bring them together and get the most, you know, the most out of Tim. And that's what we've been able to do, you know. Like, Julie's, in my eyes, the best triathlon coach in the world, you know. She's phenomenal. And, you know, I help her out a lot with bike fitting and other athletes that she's got. And, yeah, it's, I'd be a bit lost without Julie, I have to admit. You know, it's good to have that support where if, you know what it's like with coaching, like no person, some might say they've got all the ideas, but I tell you now, they haven't, you know. But sometimes it's just, it's good to have that security there to say, oh, yeah, I've got this idea. What do you think? And that's what we're able to do, really. And that's why we can get the results. And, yeah, I love it. I love being in triathlon, you know. I feel so grateful that I've met all these great people. And, I'm doing my part. I'd love to do it more myself, but just time doesn't permit.
It's almost given you like a second lease of athletic life, hasn't it, in a way? Your time trialing career, kind of, you brought that to a close, then it was like, I remember seeing the passion in your eyes going, now I've got a whole other sport I want to conquer.
Yeah, and that was the thing, you know, I came into triathlon like, you know, it's like most age groupers, I want to get to Kona. That was my goal. But then I started doing it and I was like, wow, this is kind of, yeah, there's a lot to do here. But, you know, I enjoyed, you know, like the training process, and I got addicted to the training. And that's I've got an addictive personality. So as soon as I start something, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll do this for a laugh. But then it's like, okay, I did. Then time starts to come into it. Then power starts to come into it. Then heart rate. And it's just like all these things. And then before you know it, I'm like, thinking, now I went away from trying to win all the nationals and. And now at that point I'm breaking it all down again, and it takes a lot of commitment, and that's why I've got so much respect for people that do the sport, is just like the commitment that they put on themselves to just to compete is phenomenal. And I've got, you know, like so much respect for everybody doing it, and I'm, you know, and it's a standing joke, like I do a lot of work with like the Lotto guys. And they're all telling me about the training. And then I'm like, yeah, but compared to triathlon, the overall load isn't that much. and it's quite funny because Victor Campanets, he was actually a triathlete before he turned to a cyclist. So, he kind of gets it. So that's good.
I love it, man. So listen, last thing I want to ask you about, what's next for you, Matt Botterill, the athlete? What have you got lined up outside of the bike fitting and the coaching of other athletes? What, still the fire definitely burns within you, doesn't it?
Yeah, there is. And I have constant mental battles with myself, if I'm honest, that I know that I can never go back and ride like national championships and I could go and I'd probably get, like, I don't know, potentially get top 10, top 20. But when I've been there and done it for such a long time, that's not for me now. I kind of, there's like this World Age Group Masters that I would really like to do well in. The qualification for that is in a couple of weeks. So I'd like to go there and do well. But beyond, I don't know, I just want to enjoy it. And that's why I want to do it. It's like doing the relays and just like stuff where there's not loads of pressure. You know, I started this year really well. I won like the Eddie Stones, which is a big classic race in the UK. You know, it's like 21 years since I last won that event. So it's quite nice to do little bits like that. But ultimately, I kind of want to just enjoy it. I want to keep fit enough so I can always ride with my athletes. And just ultimately, just do whatever that I can for them, because I made so many mistakes that I think that's my process now, is still being involved, and I'll do racing as and when I want to, but I've got to like lay the pressure off myself a little bit, because it's very hard when you've been so competitive. But ultimately, I just want as a coaching company just to succeed with what we're doing, and that's more glory than I've ever achieved in my own cycling career. Not seeing people make the mistakes that I made. Because I'm telling you now, there was lots of success, but there was more failings.
All right, man. So listen, if people have liked what they heard and they're interested in getting in touch either regarding coaching or Bike Fit for Triathlon, where do they go to find out more?
Probably the best place is just go to the website. It's www.mattboxperformancecoaching.com. You can find me on Instagram, on Twitter. If you want to see the pictures, the transformations, then follow us on Instagram. Just Google the name and you'll see what we've been doing. Follow us on Facebook as well. We're always posting pictures. So if you need a bike date, I'm not just saying this, they fill pretty quick. June dates are already going, so we'll probably we're booking into June and July now. So
get on it if you want to do well.
Yeah, definitely. Especially if you're thinking of getting to Kona and all these big key events, then get it done now, because it would take you 6 to 8 weeks to make that transformation.
Yeah, nice. All right, Matt. It's always really lovely to talk to you. Thanks very much, buddy. We'll speak to you again soon, I hope.
Yeah, it's always good to chat, Rob, and keep up the good work. Loving the show and loving the work that you're doing yourself. So it's motivating. So good luck.
Cheers, buddy. You too. Okay, there we go. That's a bit of a blast from the past there, an interview with Matt, but loads of really, really good stuff that I thought could really help people out at the moment. Spend some time working on your position, spend some time looking at your position in the mirror and getting videoed, and just see what tweaks you can make based on Matt's advice there, because it really is amazing the amount of extra speed you can get for the same power when you're in a good bike position. Matt fitted me and my friend Andy about a year and a half ago, and the difference in speed and power afterwards was absolutely incredible. So it's well worth tinkering with that position, especially if you're like me, getting a little bit older. The watts are getting harder to find every single season, so it's got to be being wily and being clever and trying to find extra clever ways to go fast rather than just relying on pure horsepower. All right, well, that brings us to the end of this week's show. Here's some discount codes and deals for you as reminders before we wrap it up. Precision Hydration will give you 15% off your first electrolyte order with the code OXYGENADDICT15. Thriver.co will give you 10% off all home blood test subscriptions with the code OXYGENADDICT10. And at TeamOXYGENADDICT.com, if you sign up for a year's coaching in May of 2020, we'll extend your coaching all the way to the end of September 2021, giving you two race seasons, giving you the chance to get really fit for races all the way into next season, get a massive head start on your competition with coaching for next year. So remember, there's links in the show notes for all these sponsors so you don't have to remember them. Until next week, have a great, safe training and racing week, everyone. I'm Coach Rob Wilby, and you've been listening to the Oxygenetic Triathlon Podcast. See ya.